You're very welcome back. Do get in touch with the show by texting us here on 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Sometimes life can feel draining. You know that feeling like you are a hamster on a wheel? Well, we've all experienced it at some stage, and maybe some of us are experiencing it right now. The reality is that more and more people are suffering what is commonly known as burnout. But my next guest believes rest is a human's superpower, and we certainly like the sound of that. Peter Connolly, occupational therapist at St. John of God's Hospital in Dublin. You're very welcome to Global Village.
Delighted to be here this evening, Dil.
So I mentioned St. John of God's. Tell our listeners the work that St. John of God's does.
So John of God's is a mental health hospital based in Stillorgan, South County Dublin.
And you can't miss it.
No, it's very noticeable. Yeah. And I suppose we're lucky because we've got big grounds and greens. And it's a lovely, peaceful place with people that would often tell us this in their stay. And we work with many people from different walks of life, from teenagers to senior adults, around issues like depression, anxiety, stress, psychosis. And people come in at a time of mental distress and they're seeking treatment. They're seeking understanding around their suffering. They're looking for guidance in how they can stay well and be able to manage their mental health in a way. They've often been struggling for years. Often somebody might be struggling for up to 7-8 years before they actually decide to come into hospital for the very first time. And we appreciate that. That's a really big step. But we're obviously, St. John of God's is used to working with people like that. And we've got a lot of expert staff to help people in their journey.
And when it comes to mental health, it's really all about nipping it in the bud, isn't it? Like if you can get people to get support sooner, then they wouldn't be in such a dire place 7 years or 8 years down the road.
Sure. I mean, I think that's a really interesting point, nipping things in the bud, because sometimes when we're stressed, you know, when we are reaching that peak in our performance and perhaps go beyond that into fatigue, into heading towards burnout, we miss the feedback, we miss the cues, we keep on going, we push through, perhaps we don't give ourselves permission to slow down and we push ourselves harder, we might cut back on the things that are restorative and renewal and perhaps we miss that feedback that actually what we need to do is stop. So I think it's very difficult to kind of nip things in the bud. Perhaps we need to learn from our experiences and reflect back on that and have a support group who can kind of point things out to us in a supportive manner.
And you've been in St. John of God's quite a number of years. Have you noticed the changes of the people that come looking for support over the years?
Yes, I've been there nearly 11 years, and I think over that that time, I suppose we notice patterns at certain times. You know, there's certainly a change in the way we live, perhaps, the pace of life, the impact that society probably is having as well on our mental health. If we think about the recession and the pressure that people may have been under in terms of meeting their finances, supporting their businesses, particularly men who are really struggling with perhaps a collapse of a business, and being under pressure to meet all their commitments. So there's basically that, and actually those wives and partners who are supporting those people, how they keep going down, following. So almost they're struggling thereafter and keep going for as long as their partners can keep going, and then maybe they collapse. We certainly are seeing a lot more younger people coming in, you know, everything with anxiety, eating disorders, addictions. I mean, these are all things that St. John of God's offer support in, both in inpatient and outpatient. So I suppose we're seeing, you know, it's a reflection on how society really is changing. You know, we've had mental health challenges from year dot, but perhaps the way in which we live has changed. And perhaps we haven't, or we struggle to adapt to those changes. I suppose we need to look at that and to need to look at the skills that we need to do to be able to meet those demands.
And burnout, I think, I don't think there's a single person who is listening to this right now that has not experienced some form of burnout, you know, because I think from a work perspective, there's more and more pressure put on us. You know, that I think it was France that issued a legislation that people don't need to reply to their emails after working hours. But in Ireland, this is an alien thing. It's like even though you're not physically in the office, you are always accessible by email, and you know, bosses and workplaces expect you to be always available, even on holidays, where I think before there was a greater respect, a greater sense of boundaries around when, where the role their work plays. And I think that's a huge part of that's feeding into why so many people are feeling burnt out.
Absolutely. I think if we look at burnout and literature around burnout, who burns out? It's people who take their jobs and responsibilities very seriously.
A lot of people in media would experience burnout.
Very committed. There is certainly the pressure.
I'm looking at my poor producer over there.
Absolutely. I mean, I think work and home life is very demanding, and we might feel ourselves very stretched. And we do need things like boundaries. Sometimes those boundaries need to be placed upon us. Obviously, France has taken that step because we do have a need to rest and find renewal. And that ability, or that need, shall we say, is not governed by the clock or governed by productivity. It's governed by our physiological needs, which we can't necessarily override long term and thrive. You know, we do have that need. So I think that's a struggle for companies to really get on board with. It's a struggle that we ourselves struggle with, because we put pressure on ourselves to perform as well. And there's things that are, you know, very external, but there are pressures that we create ourselves that also we need to you know, maybe do some work on and understand, develop some awareness. So I think if you look at one of the first steps of reducing burnout, it starts with awareness.
Oh, what you said there is, I think, rang a bell in my head there, because a lot of the pressures that we have, we put on ourselves. Of course, our employers and current financial situation will put pressure, but we also will want that perfect family holiday, or we want to drive that car, or we want to have that house and that neighborhood, where if we could just scale all that back and see what's really important in life. Is it spending time with my family? Is it being able to have a chance to meet my friends for a coffee or a drink? Or is it all meant to be work? But you're here to talk about rest. And I think the idea of rest that you are going to talk about, I think, is very interesting, because most people, I don't think, know just what rest really means. I think for most people, rest is just sleeping, but it's much more than that, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, to keep things really simple, I suppose we look at rest as a state of being that restores our energy. And what I mean by energy, I mean physical energy, emotional energy, psychological energy, and even spiritual energy. And, you know, rest is quite subjective. I think we would often, you know, current research is kind of looking at that it's much more complex, that you can be active and resting. So it's the switching of experience. So, for example, if you're in the office all day, you know, doing something physical in the evening could be something that could be restorative, depending on if that met your needs. If you've been around people all day and perhaps are needing a bit of alone time, maybe exercising in a gym, in a busy gym, might not work for you. You might be better off doing a run in a natural setting outside alone. There's been some kind of really interesting research from the University of Durham that have been tracking people's perceptions around rest and looking at certain activities that are helpful. And often people's top choices are things that they do alone. But they can vary from reading to doing art to being, you know, doing nothing to meditating to exercising. So there's a whole host of options. But I guess another thing that research has pointed out is that it is a skill that we do have to be able to switch our attention and engage in what we're doing and be with what we're doing, be with who we're with, and that itself becomes restorative. If we're not used to being alone or embracing quietness or solitude, that feels like a really alien experience, then that's something that we need to perhaps look at, because it is a natural state of being.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I've had people over the years say to me, "Oh, I don't like my own company. I need to be always surrounded by people or doing something." I was like, "You might want to look at that, because maybe there is something that's maybe there's something you're hoping to ignore, you know. And if you give it a little bit of space, maybe there's something could actually come up, and maybe then open up a whole part of you that you might not even know about or know about, and you're suppressing."
And we'll never develop that ability to be with ourselves if we numb it with busyness. And, you know, for many of the clients that we work with in the hospital, it's about learning to develop a relationship with themselves. I was with somebody this morning, and I was we were chatting about what they gained from being in hospital. And she said, you know, I learned about my emotions. I learned to name my emotions. I learned to kind of like myself a little bit better, and actually that I need people in my life. And I thought, wow, that was such a really lovely thing to say. And she said, well, that's a gift that I almost gave myself from coming into hospital. And that's something that you would probably never gain by being super busy and running around and jumping from one project to the next. That came from coming into hospital, taking time out, speaking with people, and reflecting and learning from different experiences and talking to different people and being open and sharing your struggles.
It's so interesting. It's such a beautiful story, and yet at the same time, there's so much sadness in that story that it took this person to go to a mental health service to actually be able to name her emotions. And it shouldn't be something that we all need to be equipped with as children, you know, as opposed to learning it when we are in our 30s or 40s, because then it can actually help us to put the brakes on before you hit the slippery slope.
I mean, I think there is that need to develop those kind of life skills in schools. And I think there are some schools that are really addressing that. So people are more, you know, attuned to their needs when they grow up and encounter stress, encounter rejection, encounter failure, knockback. So they feel more resilient. So they're able to do the things that they need to do. These are skills. You know, we start often in our work, we start with the basics, the things like, you know, movement and nutrition and rest and sleep. And that's great. That's a good foundation. That's where we start. And then on top of that, we build skills. And that's what needs to happen.
And if people want to find out more, what else they can do from a rest point of view, where can they go, Peter?
Well, I mean, I suppose in terms of there's our own kind of journeys in terms of what people can do to try out things. I mean, by all means, you can get in contact with myself at peter@lifestyleawareness.ie. I run events and retreats that are restorative, that kind of look at these things, some of which are very activity-based. There's certainly a better...
We get everyone in Newstalk to come to you now. We'll have to do a retreat
absolutely.
Just for our staff.
Sure. Be delighted to have you all. there's also about, you know, thinking about where I can carve out my own time and space in my own schedule, and having conversations with family about where that's possible, having some me time, kind of me time without the guilt trip.
I think it's not selfish. You're not being selfish, but just spending me time.
Yeah, because it's about, I mean, if we think about rest, you know, rest enables us to do the things that we need to do. You know, it makes what we're doing sustainable. We might be able to live in a particular way for 5, 10, even 20 years, but our careers might be shorter, our relationships mightn't be blossom to the same degree if we're not, you know, turning up energized and rested. So we're being able to be present and bring ourselves fully into those kind of experiences.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us here on Global Village. I feel I've been enriched by this conversation. I feel much more calmer. Just your own presence and chatting to you has... I don't have to go to therapy this week, thanks to you. So my thanks to Peter Connolly, occupational therapist at St. John of God's Hospital in Dublin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.